Is there a better place to be than right here today? I can guarantee you there is not a better place to be than right here today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for coming. We've got a few visitors with us I've seen this morning. And thank y'all for being here. I just love to see visitors. I love to see new faces. I love to see people that I can meet and talk to a little bit and maybe share a few words of encouragement. Today, I want to talk to you probably about one of the biggest questions that I receive. Believe it or not, it's one of the biggest. And before we do that, I want to mention something. If you missed church last Sunday morning, you missed Natasha being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if you missed our worship service Wednesday night, you missed Dana over here. So today you're here, so somebody come down front today, okay? We need to do that every time we come together, if at all possible. But one of the big things that we have a lot of times is we have doubt. Doubt for our salvation. And I want you to know that doubt kind of started back years ago, back when I was a kid, because we'd hear these preachers that would get up and say, if you don't do this, 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 you're not going to heaven. And you've got to live a life that's basically perfect. And I've heard people say that when you get up there for judgment and you put your sins on the scale and you put your good deeds on the scale, and if your good deeds outweigh your sins, you get to go to heaven. If your sins outweigh your good deeds, you get to go to hell. And my answer to that is no. Because once you've got Jesus Christ, remember our lesson from last Sunday morning? You are holy. There are no sins that God remembers. So therefore, there's no sins to overcome because Jesus has already overcome them on the cross. So therefore, we don't have to worry about that. But I asked a group one time years ago, and I was a young guy at the time. When I say young, I was probably in my early 30s. And everybody in the audience, there's about 35 people in the audience, and everybody in the audience was older than I am. Or older than I was at the time. They're not older than I am now. But they're older than I was at the time. And I ask them. And these are people who had been attending church, going to church virtually all their lives. Worship. Bob, what would I do without you, brother? You know? These people have been attending virtually all their lives. And I ask them, made a mistake. Of course, I was young. I can make mistakes when I'm young. Make a few when I'm older, too. But I can tell you, I ask them, I said, now raise your hand if you died today. How many of you would go to heaven? Now, don't raise your hand. If you died today, how many of you would go to heaven? And out of that group of about 30 plus people, they were all in their 60s plus. Three people raised their hand. Now, folks, that's sad. That's sad. Because how could I preach to you the plan of salvation if I myself are concerned about my own salvation? How could I preach that? And that's why I've told you many times before that I don't doubt where I'm going when I pass from this earth. I'm going to heaven. I know that. I don't doubt it. And again, like I told you last week, it's not because of what I have done that gets me there. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. Because I can tell you right now that under no circumstance do I deserve to go to heaven on my own accord. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And part of the problem is that a lot of people out there in this world today, a lot of people out there in this world today have come to me and have said these words. I don't know that God can forgive me of everything that I've done. Without a doubt, without a doubt, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. There is only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's denying God, denying Jesus Christ until your death. But I understand even that can be overcome as long as we're here on this earth, because what did Paul do when he was Saul? Saul denied Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, he saw the light, didn't he? Literally saw the light. In all ways, shape, and form, he saw the light. And because he saw the light, he realized how wrong he was. The parable of the prodigal son is a great parable. Remember, there were two sons in that story, and we focus our attention on one. But the parable of the prodigal son is a great parable because there's one line in it that I absolutely love. After he was eating from the scraps left over by the pigs, there's a little line that says, "When he came to his senses." And I love that. Because truly the manner is when he came to realize that God is the way, not any other way. And so today what I want to talk about is trying to remove any doubt that you have in your mind that you're going to go to heaven. I want to talk about that. And I had one person one time, not too terribly long ago, come to me and tell me, say, "Well, God really doesn't want us to be sure that we're going to heaven." I said, no. He wants us to be sure. And the reason why I say that is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. If I can get this to work, it helps to turn it on. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 says this, "By this we know that we remain in Him and He in us because He has given to us of His Spirit." When do we receive the Spirit? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then you shall receive it. And once we have received that Spirit, we know that we are in Him and He in us. That's when we know it. Dana, I'm going to talk about you for just a second. I had several people after Wednesday night come up to me after Dana was baptized. And they said to me, they said, "You know, we've seen a lot of people get baptized." And I said, "But that was the first one that I saw that was just beaming from ear to ear the whole time." And she was. Those of us that were here know she was. How wonderful that was. And remember the eunuch. When he came up out of the water, he went on his way doing what? See, I love saying stuff like that because all y'all know the answer. He went on his way rejoicing. When you came up out of the water, did you rejoice? You bet you did. I remember this lady down in Guyana. We were baptizing people down there. We were down there for a week long. Actually, it was 10 days long mission. But it was a medical mission. I was looking for the term medical. Well, we brought doctors down. We brought nurses down. We brought eye doctors. We brought dentists. And then we brought personal workers, what we call personal workers. I was a personal worker. And what the personal workers did is we talked to them about the plan of salvation before they got to see the doctors. And people lined up, and I was shocked at this, but we were in Guyana, South America, third world country, and people lined up out there literally for 3 days. They stood in line for 3 days. I couldn't believe it. But they patiently waited. Patiently waited. And when they got to us and we got to talking to them about the plan of salvation, that week that we were there, we had 62 baptisms. Amen on that one. But there was this one lady. Never forget her. She was in her mid-90s. 94, 95, 96. She'd never heard the plan of salvation. She said to us, she says, I need to be baptized. And we said, let's go. And we took her, and when we immersed her and she come up out of the water, she come up out of the water clapping her hands and cheering herself. And she said, how wonderful. I know she's not with us anymore, because if she was still with us, she'd be 120 some odd years old. But I can tell you this, she's got a home in heaven. And she's got a home in heaven because she had no doubt, I have no doubt, God gives us no doubt, because He tells us this is the way. Home in heaven. Now what I would like to do today is look at some myths about the plan of salvation. Now, we like to quote, hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized, then remain faithful. We like to quote that. But there's a lot of people out there in this world that don't believe that's the plan of salvation. And so I want to look at some of that. First thing I want to look at is this. There's a lot of people that say all you have to do is believe. I want you to know that that probably hurts my feelings more than anything in the world, because that is not true. If you were here for Rick's lesson this morning, do you think those demons believe? We know that in the book of James. Demons believe, but they tremble. But look at this verse in John 3:36. Look at this. The one who believes is the Son, in the Son, excuse me, has eternal life. But the one who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Is there more to it than just believing? This verse right there is very plain. Just because you believe, you're not going to heaven. The demons aren't going to be there. And all of them believe. But the response is, you not only have to believe, but you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient to the Word. Now that doesn't mean that you're not going to fall short. Because I fall short. That doesn't believe that you're not going to make errors, because you will make errors. But what that does mean is this. That because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, God dwells with us as well. And therefore, He is righteous to forgive us of all sins. Those that we've done in our past, those that we will surely do in our future. All sins can be forgiven. All sins. So therefore, it is not good enough for us to say, well, I believe and I'm good. Because I've heard many people say that. But my response to that is no, that's not the end. Belief can be the beginning, but it is definitely not the end. Look at this one also. I've heard this 1,000 times. If you just repeat this prayer after me, you will be saved. Folks, there is no prayer that's listed in the Bible that saves you. If that was the case, then why in Acts chapter 10 did Peter have to go see Cornelius? Because Peter was a man, it says, a centurion of what is called the Italian cohort, a devout man, look what it says, he was devout and one who feared God with all of his household and made charitable contributions to the Jewish people and prayed continually. If prayer is what saves us, then Peter would not have needed to come. What about Saul? Saul was blind for 3 days after he had seen the light on the road to Damascus. What did Saul do those 3 days? Prayed and fasted. If he would have been saved by the prayers, then why is it that Barnabas had to come and say, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord." It was a requirement. It is a requirement. I heard a preacher one time, not too terribly long ago, not a person that belongs to a Church of Christ, whom I agreed with 110%. He said this. He said, baptism is not a if you want to thing. Baptism is a requirement. In Acts chapter 2, when did they become saved? It was after they were baptized. They were added to the church daily. Afterwards, when did they receive the Holy Spirit? After they were baptized. It wasn't before. We have a young girl. She's 18 years old now, senior in high school. Love her. She went to church with us there in Mount Ida. Love that young girl. Wish I could see her more. She got baptized one day after Kathy primarily had worked with her for a long time. I'd worked with her, her family had worked with her. She decided to get baptized and she goes to school and she's excited and she tells her friends, she said, "I got baptized." And her friends came up to her and said, "Yes, but when did you get saved?" And the response she gave them was, "When I got baptized." And then they said, "No, but when did you get saved?" And the response she gave them again was, "When I got baptized." You are added to the church once you have put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Once your sins have been washed away. Once you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that's when you are added, not before. Not before. Notice this one. I love this one because I've got the perfect verse for this one. I've heard this by many people, baptism doesn't save you. And I said, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Because I love this one. Look what it says. Baptism now saves you. Kind of hard to deny it when it's right there in front of you, isn't it? Baptism now saves you. Baptism is part of the plan of salvation, just like belief, just like repentance, just like confession. Baptism is part of salvation. We must be baptized in order to be saved. Also, John chapter 3, verse 5. tells us this primarily so that you will know it. Jesus makes this statement, and I've heard that before too. Well, Jesus never said it. Now, well, yeah, he did, because he says it right here in John chapter 3, verse 5. He says this, that unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't be in His church. You can't be in His kingdom. You can't be part of the family. You can't be like heirs with Jesus Christ. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I've told you before that this verse right here was the verse that convicted my wife that she needed to be baptized. John 3, 5. Now, look also at Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus told His disciples, now I'm not talking about apostles, I'm talking about disciples. Disciples are all those who follow Jesus Christ. Are we disciples today? Yes, we are. Because we seek to follow Jesus Christ. We seek to follow His teachings. We seek to follow His ways. We seek to mimic His actions. We are disciples of Christ. So what is it that He told His disciples? The last command that He gave them before He ascended into heaven is right here in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He says, go into all the world and preach to every creature. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. There's a word right there that I've got up in red. And I learned that years and years ago on Saturday mornings when I used to watch Schoolhouse Rock. Y'all remember that one? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Yeah. What's amazing is that I remember that stuff. I am an encyclopedia of useless information if you ever want to know something. Yeah, when you put the word and in there, it means that you have to do both. It's not if you want to. It's not and maybe if you will. It's and. Belief and baptism are connected. Any way you want to look at it, belief and baptism are connected. They go together. Just like Jesus told His disciples as He sent them out into the world, preach this. Preach this. Now, I've heard this too. Any baptism will do. No. That's not correct either. Because I've had people say, well, I was baptized into this church, or I was baptized into this church, or I was sprinkled when I was an infant, or you know, whatever it is. And they say, you know, that counts. Because I've had people say, well, I've been baptized. I say, well, have you? And they say, yeah, I was baptized into this church at this time, and then my response to them is, for what reason were you baptized? Any baptism doesn't necessarily work. Let me show you this in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There is one hope. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. One God and Father. One. And that is why whenever you see me baptize somebody. I am extremely specific in how I baptize them. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says this, that you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, in the name of Jesus Christ. It all fits together because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. And so I am very specific because I want to make sure I get it right. That when I baptize somebody, I baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm not baptizing you into a church or into some other organization or some other thing. I am baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins or the remission of your sins. That is the reason I am baptizing you. And those of you who are in this congregation who have been baptized by me, and there have been several, and I praise God for that. But those of you that are in this congregation who have been baptized by me heard me say exactly those words. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. There are not many ways to be baptized. There is one. It is for that purpose. It is not for some other purpose. And so what happens is people do come up to see me and talk to me, and I tell them, okay, you need to be baptized. They say, well, I was baptized into this church or that church or this place. And I say to them, I say, well, for what reason were you baptized? And the vast majority of people don't know. They don't know why they were baptized. They don't know for what reason they were baptized. It's important that you know. Okay? It's extremely important that you know. And if you tell me that you were baptized in this church or this church or this church, some of them I could tell you very plainly, no, they didn't baptize you for the remission of sin. Some of them I may not know. But some of them I do know for the reason that they baptize. And folks, that goes against Ephesians. Because in Ephesians, it talks about how many baptisms? There's but one baptism. One. Not many. One. And so if you were baptized for some other reason, then you have not been baptized into the one baptism. Now I want you to realize something else too. Folks, if you don't know why you were baptized, you need to know. When I ask people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they have doubt. How then can you go out and teach others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? You need to remove any doubt. If you don't know why you were baptized, and you have doubts about your baptism, you need today to remove any doubt. If you were baptized for a reason other than for the forgiveness of sin, other than in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized. Because you were not baptized with one baptism. Folks, in my years as a preacher, I can tell you this. I've actually baptized more people who are baptized for reasons other than the one reason than I baptized those who first came to realize. And that's not saying anything bad, but what that is saying is this. When you leave this building, you need to be sure that I'm going to heaven. You need to stand with the rest of us who know where we're going. You need to remove any doubt. Because once that doubt has been removed, then you can truly go on your way rejoicing. You can go out into your community here in Poto or wherever you're from and preach that gospel to other people, because you can be just like the woman at the well. I have found the Messiah. Come and see. I have found my saving grace. I have a place in heaven. Would you not like to be able to proclaim that? Would you not like to be able to proclaim it to others? Would you not like others to come and see where they themselves may find a place in heaven? If today you have doubt, let's take a few minutes and let's remove that doubt. Let's remove any doubt from your mind. Heaven is my home. Come and be there with me. Come and be there with Jesus. Come and be there with God. Join us together while together we stand and sing.